It is Talk 99.5, Matt Murphy, Valerie Vining, Matt and Val. 2 minutes after 7 o'clock as we continue on this Tuesday edition. Happy to have you with us. 545-9950 is the telephone number, 545-9950. That is the Birmingham Broker phone lines. Turn me down just a little bit, John Bird. Seemed to be a little bit on top of the music. I don't know why I can hear that and you can't. It's odd. It's an odd occurrence. Hey, Valerie, good morning.
Matt Murphy. Good morning, all. Hope you're doing well.
I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. We got a beautiful day in front of us. I'm excited about that. And if you live in Bessemer, the train tracks are clear. Do you know that that train was on those tracks for 24 hours blocking?
Well, the residents of Helena just would like to say welcome to our world every single freaking day. My goodness.
They blocked.
What was the deal there? So where in Bessemer?
So the train,
on 150?
Yeah, they were blocking the tracks on 150 in the Bessemer area, and early this morning it cleared.
What was the problem? No.
I guess we need to talk
No clue.
At about 4 o'clock this morning. Imagine that. Emergencies or anything else that are going through there. I understand that sometimes they have to stop, but that's a pretty busy area through there, 150 in Bessemer, and the fact that it was there for 24 hours. I hope it was something seriously wrong with that train for that to have happened. So maybe we'll get some answers today as to what happened.
The only excuse that I can imagine, and look, I understand how we get goods and service. I mean, goods. Service is a different thing. Mm-hmm. I understand how we get goods. Everything that we get comes on a truck, but a lot of times those trucks pick up stuff from the train, okay? So trains carry supplies. That is literally the supply line, okay?
It is.
At the same time, I cannot think of a single reason why a train should be stuck across the roadway for 24 hours outside of somebody being underneath it.
Amen. Or an accident, right? They've hit a car. They've hit something.
You know
there's, yeah. Unbelievable. About 150 calls they got from concerned citizens. And again, you think about the inconvenience of that, of trying to work your way all the way around a train, and sometimes it's pretty difficult to do that.
Bird and I should have gone and... Based on that hoodie that you're wearing there, John, you know, we should have gone and tagged it, you know, tag it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you go to Home Depot. Yeah. Yeah. Tag it. Go to, you know, Lowe's. Get yourself some paint and tag it.
Yeah.
Are you encouraging John Bird to deface?
John Bird is a – you didn't know this?
Mm.
Did you not know this?
I guess I didn't know.
You're the only one. Jason, you knew about it, didn't you? Yeah, Bird is a known – he's a known graffiti guy. Is this true,
John Bird?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm pretty good with it.
Yeah, but he doesn't go by John Bird.
No,
when he
well,
does
of course
his graffiti.
Not. Yeah, I mean, you
because
don't
he can't do that.
That.
He goes by his street name. Would you like to know what his street name is, Valerie?
Are you going to give that out?
John, if you want to tell everyone your street name, I mean, you can. I don't know if you want.
Go ahead.
No. I wouldn't want to take your credit.
No, are you sure?
No. I'm positive. You should probably go ahead and name your own name.
Okay.
You know, you. I don't want to do. But if you see any of this graffiti by this guy out and about and on the street, know that it's really John Bird. John, you want to tell everybody?
Well, Jason, you want to tell everybody what my street name is?
Oh, this is...
He's the world-renowned...
You need a napkin over
Banksy.
There, Matt. The what?
There, I said it.
The what?
Banksy.
He said you were... He's not Banksy. Are you Banksy?
J. Banksy. There's a difference. There is a difference.
Yeah, that's the creative team, ladies and gentlemen, of the Matt and Val player is not able to come up with a quality name, and so Jason Lee saves us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jason Lee.
All right, so if you go over to 1819 News, you'll read my new piece. This is like the third one that's dropped, and I haven't talked a lot about it, but they asked me to write some columns for them, and I was happy to do so. And this one involves state politics, more specifically involves Governor Kay Ivey, and the questions that it seems everyone's asking at cocktail parties, everyone's asking in the back rooms, but no one will ask publicly. Well, I'm the one that called the baby ugly. I don't mind calling the baby ugly if the baby's ugly. And so I did. And I understand that this will upset some folks on Goat Hill, and I don't care.
Well, I think you're bringing up some very interesting points. And one of those is people aren't discussing this. And you're bringing it to light, and it hopefully will transform into some conversations with people that may have questions, and let's talk about it.
Is Kay Ivey, as governor of this state, proactive or reactive?
Good question.
Right?
Some might say she's proactive. Some may say she's not proactive enough.
I think it merits a discussion because Kay Ivey and her team, they're asking for something from you. They're asking for your vote.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming soon.
They have declared themselves candidates in the next gubernatorial election. They feel comfortable that Kay has 4 or 5 more years of vigor and vitality in her to effectively execute the duties of governor of the state of Alabama. And I'm asking if you believe that's so. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking if we're getting the level of performance out of our governor that Florida's getting, or Texas is getting, or for God's sakes, Mississippi, or Louisiana, or Tennessee. I don't know. I don't know the answer to this question.
But I know a lot of people aren't asking the question.
I'm fascinated with the amount of silence on this issue. And I'm fascinated that someone, and maybe they're waiting, maybe the Tim James of the world, they're waiting in the wings. Maybe Linda Blanchard is waiting in the wings to shift from the U.S. Senate race to the gubernatorial race. It is not a bad thing to have good quality candidates primary Kay Ivey, and it's not a bad thing for Kay Ivey either. Kay Ivey, you need to earn it. You're not owed it. You earn it. Well, and by God, starting today, I expect that she will earn it.
And part of the issue is, and we've kind of seen this in the past, that, you know, what we like to see, too, are debates between the different candidates. And I don't know that we're going to get that from Governor Kay Ivey moving forward. And I know people like to hear that. They want to hear the different ideologies between the different candidates, and sometimes you don't get that if you don't have a debate. And I don't think we're going to have Governor Kay Ivey debate. I think there are people that would love to run for governor, but they're not going to because they know Governor Kay Ivey is going to run again.
And
they're good quality candidates, but they're not going to go up against her.
Right, because they feel it a fool's errand
to do it
when all of the money people have lined up behind Kay Ivey. Right. Why is that? Because they feel like it's easy to get their agenda on the docket. I don't know the answer to the question. I know this. I know BCA and Alabama Power and all these other big money boys, Regions Bank and the like, they're all behind Kay Ivey. Now, you say, oh, well, that's just because of good government. Well, sometimes the BCA and other organizations believe in certain things that the people of Alabama don't necessarily believe in. Example, migrant labor, regardless of its legal status. Let me tell you something. The BCA is not a friend to immigration reform and border security. They're not. They're not. Mm. And Alpha's not.
Yeah. And these are all things that, you know, I mean, you've done a deep dive, and there are some in Alabama that get that, and there are others that have just kind of don't know the dynamics of how the inner workings, and as we say, how the sausage is made, and may be unaware of that, the different ties, the different connections, the reasons why people, again, aren't jumping in for running for governor, and it's partly because of what you just said. It's the big money people that are supporting Governor Kay Ivey, and yet we're listening to her policies, and those policies may not line up with those that are supporting her financially.
Well, it could be the case that if I took a poll of every Alabamian in this state, that everyone's just as comfortable as can be with the leadership of Kay Ivey. And if that's the case, great. And this is not personal, but I would tell you that any challenge to Kay Ivey, either on the radio or on the primary ballot, is a good thing for the people of Alabama. Even if you support Kay Ivey, you should expect that Kay Ivey can tackle that fight. If you expect her to tackle the fight of Joe Biden and federal overreach, if you expect her to tackle the fight of Democrat creep into the state of Alabama, if you expect her to tackle the fight of illegal immigration or a lack of individuals looking for jobs in the state of Alabama or economic development and recruitment, if you expect her to fight those battles, then she ought to be able to. I mean, if she doesn't feel like I'm being fair to her in this piece, come on the show and tell me why. Tell me how conservative it is that the first thing out of the gate was a gas tax. And it's not that I would have disagreed with the gas tax on the back end.
No, it was the way that it was pushed through.
It was the way that it was done.
And people didn't, Alabamians didn't like it for the most part. I haven't spoken to many people that said, oh yeah, I was okay with that. I mean, if we had had a discussion, a healthy debate about why we needed to do this, we might have jumped on board and said, okay, yeah, I understand why you do this.
I don't like it, but
when
I get
it's rammed through and then you're like, wait a minute here, what just happened?
Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, the prices at the pump are what they are. Nobody noticed when they were $189.
No, everybody's looking now. What'd
but
you pay?
Everyone's looking now.
I filled up yesterday, $296 a gallon is what I paid at one of the big box places.
Yeah, I think I was
$296.
I didn't get over to the box store, and I was like $309.
And Georgia last week, I looked and I saw $335. I even saw upwards of $340.
Someone told me that in California that gas had gotten up to $7 a gallon.
I don't doubt. I don't. You know, it's California. I mean, come on.
I mean, for the love.
If you're still living in California, you need to get out of there. Come on. And I love you, Linda. I know Linda calls from California. Linda's an exception. She's probably in a lovely little niche of California.
Sure. You know,
somewhere up in the hills, far from, from all the shenanigans.
You know, all the gold in California is in a bank in a city in Beverly Hills in somebody else's name. Yeah. Anyway, all right, here's the... here's the executive order from yesterday. Executive order number 724, entitled Combating Overreaching COVID-19 Vaccination Mandates, cites an array of actions that are to be undertaken by state government with the intention of ensuring Alabamians are protected against the enforcement of the Biden administration's vaccine requirements. KIV's executive order directs all entities under the authority of the state's executive branch to coordinate with the Alabama Attorney General's office to support litigation the state has brought against the federal government to combat the mandates enforced.
Thank you for that.
Right?
Yes.
So the everybody in the executive branch is going to work with the Attorney General's office, not that he needs it, to support litigation, not that he needs that, the state has brought against the federal government to combat the mandates enforcement. What does that mean? Additionally, the governor's order states that no state government entity shall, quote, seek to impose a penalty on any business or individual for the noncompliance with any federally imposed requirement that has the purpose of effecting or forcing an individual to receive a COVID-19 vaccination or requiring a business to force its employees to receive a COVID-19 vaccination.
Mm.
So, Governor Kayavi has told us now officially that no government entity in the state. What government entities were going to do this? City of Birmingham?
Doubt that.
I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, City of Birmingham. Would the City of Birmingham, under the mayor, Randall Woodfin, would they enforce the federal mandate? Oh, by the way, this federal mandate is going to get pushed back to January.
Did y'all hear that?
Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch.
It should. I mean,
this federal mandate should go away. Its intention was twofold from the beginning.
Yeah.
One, get our attention away from Afghanistan as fast as possible. 13 service members died at the hands of Joe Biden. Two, push the thumb on the bigger businesses in an effort to get them to mandate the vaccination themselves. It worked to a certain degree on the front end. It ain't working now,
because
people are pushing back.
And here's the thing. What's the end game here for Democrats and the Biden administration for mandating the vaccine now that we have the information that we have? What is their end game? Why is it that they're pressing so hard for everyone to get vaccinated when we know what we know about the virus now, how it's spread, how you can still get it even though you've been vaccinated? The question is, why the push?
Pressing the vaccination.
Is that just power? Is it just a power play?
Well, yes. But pressing the vaccination will also press the issue well into 2022. It will create it as an election year front and center issue on the ballot in 2022. I said it from the front side of this. Now, talking about vaccination mandates and talking about the vaccination is two different things, right? And we've tried to establish that. Mandates are one thing. Whether you should get the vaccine or not is another. And on the front end, I said, y'all better get right with the vaccine. Otherwise, this is going to happen. And now it's happening. We have a big enough slice of the population they will pretend that the black community is vaccinated. They will pretend like that section. They need those numbers, that 30 percentile number, but they're not going to tell you the demographics of these numbers. They'll pretend it's all Trump voters. But it's not. Of course we know it's not.
Right.
It's people from all walks of life. But if they have that percentage, it creates that boogeyman, and they can point their finger and say, the vaccinated are the problem. We wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
The unvaccinated are the problem.
Yeah,
here.
Right.
They create a boogeyman for the 2022 election. So they can point their fingers at them, wag their fingers.
Which is a complete lie, too. The unvaccinated are not the boogeyman. They're not the bad guy.
No. I mean, Neil Cavuto. I feel bad for Cavuto.
Yeah, I saw that Cavuto. The other day. Yeah. Encouraging everyone to get the vaccine.
Well, Cavuto, he gets the vaccine and he gets COVID anyway. And now he's like, oh, please, for the love of God, if you don't get vaccinated for yourself, get vaccinated for other people. I don't understand why I have to get vaccinated for other people who are already vaccinated.
Once again, you would think Neil would understand that. And why now, Neil? Again, it's for yourself. It is for healthcare workers. That is it. And it was for healthcare workers because our hospitals were overrun.
They're not.
Now it's for just for you.
545-9950, if you'd like to be a part of the show. Ken is in Alabaster, and Joe is in Helena. Not necessarily in that order. We'll get to you momentarily. Absco Fireplace and Patio would love to talk to you about this fall. If you've not been in to see the incredible selection of fire pits. Did I see this right, Valerie?
What?
Last time we were over at the 280 location.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that they had like a VW microbus fire pit. Remember that?
You know, I saw that, and I was like, I wish somebody would give me that for like birthday, Christmas.
Oh,
there's an idea.
Oh, look.
They have some of the cutest things there. And then if you're going to get real serious, I sat in some of the furniture at Absco Fireplace and Patio, and I told Kathy, I was like, that thing belongs in my living room. What do you mean that goes on my patio? It's that nice. I mean, their stuff is really beautiful. Fire pits, this is a great time of the year for that. And you guys know this is the home for the big green egg and all the accessories that go with it.
You know, I don't know if they took me up on it, but I told Scott and Kathy, I said, if you don't find a manufacturer to make a little dumpster, a little mini dumpster for a fire pit, so I can have a little dumpster fire in my backyard.
That's pretty funny. Somebody will come up with it. Yeah.
Absco Fireplace and Patio, two locations. Deserve.
Absco Fireplace.
Highway 280 in Inverness. And of course, just over in Pelham, 119 State Park Road, Absco Fireplace and Patio. Talk 99.5. It is 24 after. My apologies for running so late. We'll start with Joe and Helena, and then if we have to carry him over, we'll do so. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Matt and Val. How are you guys?
Great, Joe. How are you?
Joe.
Good. Hey, Matt, I agree with you. Like, our governor, Kay Ivey, it's like, God bless her. She's there. We voted for her. But it's almost getting Joe Biden-esque, like this executive order last night. What meat does it have?
Not really any. It doesn't really do anything.
Right. So why do it? We already have those rights.
Hey, hold your thought there, Joe. I'll finish up with you on the other side. Ken is in Alabaster, too, available. Valerie Vining's right there. I'm right here. It's Matt and Val on Talk 99.5 and talk99.5.com. Talk 99.5, Birmingham broker phone lines available for you, 545-9950. That's 205-545-9950. My name's Matt Murphy. There's Valerie Vining.
Good morning, all.
Hey, in a few moments, we'll talk to Dave Chappelle, or about Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, very interesting what's happening with him.
It's the epitome of cancel culture. We'll delve into that. Kay Ivey, the discussion point now, and the executive order, which, as far as I can read it, Kay Ivey's executive order prevents one person from passing or initiating a vaccine mandate, and that's Kay Ivey. Does that make sense?
Yes.
She passed an executive order saying that no executive office member within her executive branch of government shall do anything regarding a vaccine mandate, which is something she could have done without an executive order.
so what's the purpose of the executive order
outside of just a dog and pony show that gives her the ability not to deal with the situation in the special session? Now, all of that to say, I don't like some aspects of this Texas executive order that Greg Abbott signed.
Because it's looking at private businesses.
Right, and I don't like some aspects of the Ron DeSantis piece, but she could have done something through the legislative process. Is it that the legislature doesn't want to be down there that long?
Maybe. And they go in session Thursday afternoon. We'll see. I don't know. That's a good question. But apparently this is opposing Joe Biden's federal vaccine mandate. And does it look at the private mandate as some of the other states are doing or not? She's just kind of skirting around that.
Well, no, the only person that this stops from doing anything about Joe Biden is her.
Is her, right.
And, oh, we'll support the Attorney General's office. And I'm sure that Steve Marshall appreciates that. That executive order hug. All right, anyway, Joe was in Helena. He was talking to us. We'll get to Ken in Alabaster momentarily. Hey, Joe. Sorry about the break.
That's okay. I made it all the way down Morgan Road and to work by the time I got on the
road. Oh, wow. Wow. You have been on hold for a while.
Yeah, I've aged. Anyway, listen, if Kay Ivey isn't reactionary, then she's a placeholder, okay? Because she's not leading. Leading is exactly what you talked about, Matt, getting a special session, saying, hey, in the state of Alabama, we're going to pass a law that states no private business or government agency can interfere with the health choices of the citizens, blah, 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 blah. It would effectively stop federal overreach into the lives of Alabamians. But she hasn't done any of that all the way through this pandemic, all the way through everything. I mean, the gas tax, it's not transparent. So, hey, she ran, she got elected, and now things are kind of falling apart. And that's why I said it's very Joe Biden-esque. She's a placeholder. Joe Biden's a placeholder. There's other people behind the curtains pulling the strings, and it's becoming more and more apparent. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, Matt. Somebody needs to primary her, and somebody needs to challenge her on how she leads, because she's not doing it.
Thank you, Joe, for the call. I appreciate you. 545-9950.
And the question is, who is going to go up against Governor Ivey, knowing what they know about the governor and, again, the support and the backing that she has financially? It makes it very difficult for anyone that really wanted to run, even from the Republican Party,
you know, I suppose,
to do that.
I suppose Linda Blanchard is an interesting thought because she is self-funded. Linda Blanchard has the money that she could throw $5 million at a governor's race and not blink at it. You will have to be self-funded. Otherwise, you're starting at an extreme deficit. You're not getting a lot of this big money that's already decided that Kay Ivey is a standard that they can live with. Kay Ivey is a malleable entity within the governor's office that the Alphas and the Alabama Powers of the world can live with. And once again, I just want to make sure, I'm not even saying that Alabama Power or Alpha or any of these other entities are doing anything wrong or bad. And some of their priorities are consistent with Alabama values, but some aren't. The question is, who does the executive branch think that they are beholden to? And why is it that so many people seem afraid of Kay Ivey? Is it what's behind Kay Ivey that makes them afraid? Because I look at Kay Ivey's record, it bears repeating, this is not personal. I simply look at her record, and there are a lot of places that were I running against Kay Ivey that I could point to and say, this is not very conservative. This is not good government. This is not being proactive in the role as governor. And there's two things. One, the money seems to keep people away. Mm-hmm. But two, the elephant in the room seems to keep people away. And the elephant is our governor, does she have the vitality necessary to serve for another 5 years? And I don't know that there is nothing wrong with asking that question.
Yeah.
If we can ask the question about the president, and I am not suggesting, I don't know, I'm not suggesting that Kay Ivey is anywhere near where Joe Biden's at with regard to her mental faculties. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I don't see Kay Ivey out and about very much. I don't see Kay Ivey at press conferences. I don't see Kay Ivey standing at a podium for 45 minutes taking questions. I don't see it.
Yeah, and all those factors come into play. And then we hear from people, well, why are you picking on Kay about her age? Well, it's not about her age, because she's 77, somebody that's 77. I mean, we look at Donald Trump. We look where Joe Biden is. We look, you know, those are things you should look at. And again, it's not about age. It's about where they are with their focus on, let's just talk about the governor currently, on where her mind is going forward for the state of Alabama. What are we pushing forward? What's going to happen over not only the term that she has left as governor, but if she's reelected, what are we looking at doing for the state of Alabama? How are we becoming more forward thinking? And again, I think a lot of conservatives in the state of Alabama are looking at people like governors like Ron DeSantis and what he's doing for the state of Florida. And could Alabama look like that, where we're forward thinking, we're moving, Mark, things are happening. And again, I know that when we talk about industry and bringing businesses to Alabama and, you know, the economy of all of that, you can look at what the governor has done, but could we be doing more? Is there somebody out there that is more? And I think that there could be those candidates, but I think that a lot of times they're saying, well, I'm seeing the backing of what Governor Ivey is going to have going forward, and I'm not going up against that, because it does take a lot of money. It does take a lot of effort. And I don't, you know, I don't think it's an age thing, but I think when you look at Joe Biden, you have to consider his age, but you go beyond that because you see that mentally there are some things going on with Joe Biden.
It's not the
number.
Aren't there. The number.
The number's kind of irrelevant.
The number's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It is, what am I seeing, and do I believe that this person is functioning in their job?
At 100%.
At 100%.
At 100%. That's what you would want.
We are the boss. When we go to vote, we are collectively deciding whether or not we want this person to continue in this job. It's our job. It's not their job. It's our job. And I'm merely asking, is there not, I mean, right now, as it stands, you'll have a token Democrat as opposition. I mean, can you imagine if Randall Woodfin got in the race for governor?
And I don't think that's so far-fetched. Maybe some of you haven't thought about that.
Now, Randall Woodfin does not represent the ideological positioning of most people in the state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. But Randall Woodfin is a likable fellow. He's a different kind of candidate. He's young. I guarantee you he'd be on. This is something that's been in my head for over a year, and it's been talked about in political circles for that length of time. It reminds me a little bit. Bear with me here. It reminds me just a little bit of the Robert Bentley scandal, in that I heard that Robert Bentley was having an affair on his wife a year before it broke.
Well before it came out.
And the person that told me that,
yes.
I said, you're full of bleep.
No one believed it.
There's zero chance that that's happening. Zero chance
happening. You and I, back when we were working on WAPI, we had those personal one-on-one interviews with him. He was in studio. We were like, knowing what we knew about Robert
Bentley,
the family
man,
we said there is no way. We did not believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even with the rumors out there, we're like, why is this rumor going around about this? And again, it all came true.
There's no way that nerdy Dr. Pimple Popper is cheating on his wife.
Pimple Popper.
With anybody. But he did. But he did.
Yeah, it was one of those stories that was so far-fetched. We said, that is our grandfather you're talking about. He's, you know, he's not. That's not.
Stand behind you.
Stop. Oh, God, I'm going to get grossed out here.
Yeah, Wanda's dead.
I mean, you know.
I know.
And in a similar, there's an undercurrent of conversation going on
that is
about
not
who
being right.
Is in charge. And it's time that somebody was willing to say it publicly. And I'm not afraid of that.
Well, and you've made light, you know, we've talked a little bit about Joe Biden. What is the big question about Joe Biden? Who's really running the country? And there's a little bit of
Does Kay Ivey tell people what to do, or does she do what she's told to do? Now, folks, Ask yourself that question, and ask yourself that question honestly, and ask yourself, is there anything wrong with Matt Murphy talking about it on the radio? Does Kay Ivey tell people what to do, or does she do what she's told to do? You ask yourself that question honestly and answer it on the other side. It's Talk 99.5, Talk99.5.com. I'll tell you this, Buckets Away Waterproofing does what they say they're going to do. That means getting out for a free estimate. That means challenging the big boy pricing. You know, that's what Brandon does. That gets a little uncomfortable too, but Brandon says, I can do the same quality work for less money. I believe that, and I believe it too. Brandon and Randy can help. If you have waterproofing issues in your home, if you have water in your basement or crawl space or mold in your basement or crawl space, give it a go with Buckets Away Waterproofing. 222-6443, 222-6443. Call today for Buckets Away. Talk 99.5. All right, Executive Order 724. Lest you believe we are being unfair to Kay Ivey, we're going to go over all the points on this. There aren't a lot of them. We'll do so after I remind you about eXp Realty and my experience with Stephanie Brumbelow. Stephanie Brumbelow was my realtor when I sold my house. I'd never done that before. Did not know a lot about it. Stephanie does. Stephanie did. And Stephanie got my house sold in one, count them, one day. Five offers the first day, and it was sold just like that. It was one of the easiest experiences, I mean, most pleasant experiences. Stephanie and her team can help you experience the same thing. Now, I understand house prices are pretty good right now. Not going down anytime soon. Stephanie, if you're selling, we'll get you maximum value, but she'll also find value out and about. She knows the city of Birmingham like the back of her hand, and she can help you. Stephanie Brumbelow and eXp Realty. Go to agent205.com, agent205.com.
205-545-9950. Birmingham broker phone lines, and you guys on those this morning.
Ken is in Alabaster.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Well. Thank you.
Great, great, great. A couple of observations, just to speak on what your topic this morning. I think the one thing that stands out to me, the governor of Texas and Florida, I think that they are in touch with the people and they articulate their message frequently. I mean, they go before a microphone, they're not afraid, and speak. And I have been impressed with our Senator Tommy Tuberville. He has not, you know, shied away and speaks his mind and speaks for the people, I think, of Alabama. And if we had a governor that is not afraid, I'm not saying KIV is afraid of the microphone, but, you know, just to have someone lay out their plan, what they're thinking. But right now, we need leadership, and we need to know what's in the minds of our leaders. That just said. And second, Biden's poll ratings have dropped severely. And in the conversation you had yesterday morning, if they were to fire Fauci or he resigned, would that help Biden's poll ratings? And I'll let you guys speak.
Thank you very much, Ken. Those that see through Anthony Fauci also see through Joe Biden. That's my take. And so I don't think that there would be a tremendous amount of impact regarding Joe Biden's poll numbers.
No, I don't think it would help poll numbers either, but I also think that a lot of Americans would be happy to see him go. Would that be a plus for the Biden campaign? I think it should have happened long ago. So I don't know that really changes anything, but it's a good question that he brings up.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think you fire Anthony Fauci on general principle. Mm-hmm. You bring up charges of perjury against Anthony Fauci immediately.
And some would say maybe criminally you bring him up based on his knowledge of what was going on in that lab and the gain of function and all the people that died from COVID-19.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to have a perjury trial bring out all of that discovery? Wouldn't that be pleasant?
Oh, well, if he's willing to lie under oath in one circumstance, he's probably going to do it again. So I don't know that we get any truth out of Anthony Fauci, being that he's where he's at right now.
Sean is next. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Sean, you there? Good morning. Going once, twice?
Let me try. Well, no. Sean? Well, I guess not. 545-9950, lost Sean. 545-9950. As we continue, let me do this. What does KIV's executive order? I think I can do it in a minute, which is all we have for the rest of the hour before we go to Jason Lee and First News. She agrees to cooperate with the Alabama Attorney General in their challenge to the federally imposed vaccination requirement. Okay. Well, she was going to do that anyway. She says that nobody in the executive branch of state government shall seek to impose a penalty on any business or individual for noncompliance with the federally imposed requirement. She was going to do that anyway. She says that she's going to protect executive branch contractors from the same. She's going to do that anyway. And that's about it. So, Kay Ivey passed an executive order promising the state of Alabama that she wasn't going to do anything to abide by the federally imposed mandate, which she could have done without an executive order.
So this was for?
Nothing. It was for the purpose of not having to deal with this in the special session, is what it was.